this anyway, just for kicks. Him.
Welcome to the Tales from the Air podcast, season 2, episode 1. Welcome back. I am your host, Rob Johnson, and we are in the Tales from the Air studio, coming to you a couple days late. Life gets in the way, as it often does, and was hopeful to be able to get this recorded on the 1st and released on the 1st, or by the 1st, which one would think with the break that I took, I could have done that. The challenge I ran into, and I'm discovering it's something I've got to work on, it's a flaw of myself, I have to be able to go in and not go down a rabbit hole every single time I do research on a subject. It ends up taking more and more time. It's very interesting. It's kind of how I'm wired. I like to kind of peel that onion. But at any rate, we're back. We're recording live. It's May 3rd. I hear my Bose headphones cutting in and out, so I got to figure that out. But it looks like we're recording, so we're good. Excited for this episode. Going to talk a little industry news. We're going to talk a little bit about the last flight that I took, that Lisa and I took, and just some observations there. And then the most important thing is we are going to have the interview that I did with my aunt. And I'll give you a little kind of a heads up on that disclaimer, if you will, before we start. She did a phenomenal job. Your host, on the other hand, has a lot to learn when it comes to interview process for a podcast. As I said in episode 1, not a studio engineer, still learning, trying to figure this stuff out. So hopefully the YouTube tutorials will allow me to drop in her interview in the proper spot, and we'll be in good shape. But at any rate, so let's get into it. First and foremost, absolutely time critical. Sorry about that. Took a little sip of the Starbucks coffee there. Absolutely critical. May 7th is when the Real ID becomes real. Wednesday, May 7th, next Wednesday. So I've done some research, and if you do not have a Real ID and you're going to be traveling, here's what you need to know. Number one, you are able to have a passport, and that will serve as a valid ID. You're able to use a military ID that will also serve as a valid ID. You're able to, if you have a valid global entry card, an ID, you're able to use that. So those are the things you're able to do. Now, if you're listening to this and you're saying, I have none of those things, you are able to travel. However, it is being recommended by TSA and the FAA that you need to arrive, you need to add an additional 30 minutes to your screening time to go through the process, because what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to validate who you are. So you'll need to bring your birth certificate or social security card, something that is going to help them identify you so you can clear that hurdle. Now, what I would do, if you have not gotten your Real ID and you do not have a passport, my advice is go get that new ID this coming week. Some states, to make an appointment, they're weeks and weeks out. Other states, not so much. So check and make sure you get that done. But I would, I've been talking about it since January, folks. The time is now. Get your real ID, unless you have a passport, and get that knocked out, get it done. And if you're going to be traveling, starting your trip before May 7th, coming back after May 7th, don't fear. You're able to get your real ID, get on the plane with some additional validation and scrutiny to get through. So my recommendation is, if you don't have that real ID, pack your patience and pack a lot of them. And let's not kid ourselves. You have no one to blame but yourself on that one for not getting that taken care of. So anyway, enough lecture there. I'll be anxious to kind of dig into what the airports are seeing and all that. So hopefully for our May 15th episode, I'll have some information on that. So I want to get into some observations from the last flight that I took. Lisa and I went down to Phoenix. I went down to do a little work, went down to record my aunt's podcast. And then we also went and just had a little R&R. We love getting down to Phoenix, and it's one of our favorite places. So in a previous episode, I spoke about if your flight is delayed and you're alerted that it's delayed, do you still plan that it's going to take off at the scheduled time? And my recommendation, folks, unless you are, you've got a little gambling nature to you, is yes, follow that original timeline, because they can, at a moment's notice, change that flight and it's back to its originally scheduled time. This happened to Lisa and I when we were departing Phoenix. We received a notification saying the flight was delayed. I think at one point it was almost 2 hours delayed. And we thought, well, we're going to take full advantage of this, and we're going to spend some more time visiting with our aunt, but then we're also going to stop and get a In-N-Out burger and all that, and casually make our way to the airport. So we were taking something out to our rental car. I can't remember what it was. And we get a text with an updated flight time, and it is now about 10 minutes after that originally scheduled departure. And panic set in, to say the least. And we thought, oh boy, we got to get going. So raced upstairs, grabbed the rest of our stuff, said our goodbyes to our lovely aunt, and got in the car and thought, we probably have time to stop it in and out along the way. We really didn't, but we made time. So made it to the airport, and by the time we dropped off the rental car, checked the bag, it was tight. Of course, we get to the gate, and the flight crew isn't there yet. So there was a little bit of a delay, but we pushed it. So my recommendation is to just assume that the flight is going to take off at its originally scheduled time. Plan accordingly. If you're in the airport and you've got some downtime, you can always go get a bite to eat or what have you. But my recommendation would be to make sure you are at the airport, beyond security, the whole bit. So anyway, just an observation from that trip. Otherwise, no issues. I will tell you, it was a little nostalgic because it probably was the last Southwest flight I'll take where bags fly free. So that was a little bittersweet for me to know that that was the last time for me that would be occurring, that the next time I fly Southwest, I'll either be packing much differently or paying baggage fees, which I've never done on Southwest. So that'll be something new for me. Anyway, sorry, sipping on the coffee, recording this on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Kansas City, and the dogs are napping, and I got a little Starbucks here. No, they're not sponsors, but we may get them on board. And these Bose headphones are driving me crazy, and they keep cutting out on me. Hopefully it doesn't impact the recording. I don't think it will. Anyway, so that was the observation from that. Flights were good otherwise, and travel was good. We stayed with our aunt, so we didn't have a hotel, but travel was good overall. So I want to get into a little bit of industry news before I will drop the interview at the end and close it out. But at any rate, a few things occurred while I was on hiatus from the Tales from the Air podcast, taking the month of April off in between seasons one and two. And real quick, I do want to thank everyone that reached out and provided some support over the first six episodes of the podcast. It's a lot of fun for me. I'm enjoying it, and quite frankly, I'm going to do it until I'm not enjoying it or I run out of content, and I don't think I'll run out of content, but it's something that I enjoy and is just a lot of fun to do. So at any rate, probably one of the biggest stories that came out of that window of when I was on a break was the sightseeing helicopter that crashed in New York City, which was just absolutely awful. Very sad. It was a family from Spain that was visiting New York, and they had actually gone about 15 minutes of the tour of New York City along the Hudson. And when the plane suffered distress and crashed, at the time of this podcast, which is May 3rd, the National Transportation Safety Board has not released their preliminary report, but they should be dropping that in about 10 days or so. So I will have an update on what the National Transportation Safety Board had to say about the crash on the May 15th episode. That's one of the rabbit holes I went down is reading different accounts and sources and whatnot, and just awful. Feel horrible for the family members who, you know, had to travel most likely over to New York to bring their relatives home, and just awful. All the way around. And that was a Bell 206 L4 helicopter was the version of that. So we'll be interested to see the NTSB findings on that. Just like some of the other incidents we've talked about, the NTSB typically will release a preliminary report within 30 days, and then after what could be a month or two or three, they'll issue their final report. But they're pretty thorough from the standpoint of information they're able to provide in the preliminary report. Anyway, so speaking of helicopters, I don't know what y'all's opinion is on on helicopters. Some people don't have an issue with it. I don't have a big issue with it. I will tell you, years ago, back in my single days, I would occasionally, because I had all kinds of frequent flyer miles because I was traveling all the time, I would occasionally do day trips out to Las Vegas, Nevada, out of Kansas City. First flight out, last flight back. I go out, I gamble, I just kind of hang out, relax for the day, and then fly home. And I know some of you think that's crazy. It doesn't sound relaxing at all. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed spending the day in Vegas. It was a lot of fun. I had just learned to shoot craps, so it was fun for me to go out, and I was never spending big money like some of these folks do, but I go out with, you know, plan to gamble $100 or $200 max, and usually did pretty well. At any rate, on one particular trip, I did really well at the craps table and always had wanted to do the helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon. And so there was a spot open, and I took off from Vegas and then flew to the actually landed in the Grand Canyon, and just absolutely beautiful. It was a clear day, and it was really cool. I will tell you, sitting in the, it was a four-seater, including the pilot, a little motion sickness sitting in the back seat. On the way back, I sat in the front, which turned out to be even better because not only did I not get motion sickness, but we came in and went down the strip before we landed at the airport, went down the Las Vegas Strip. That was pretty cool. But I don't know. Would I want to be in a helicopter every day? Probably not. But I know folks who have traveled in them in the military on a regular basis and no issues, and probably not my favorite mode of transportation, but it is interesting. Excuse me. So, also, while I was on break, on March 28th in Washington, D.C., surprise, surprise, at DCA, Washington National, there was a near miss with a Delta flight and a military jet that was en route to a flyover at nearby Arlington Cemetery. Again, for those of you that don't know the Washington area, Arlington National Cemetery just sits north of Reagan National Airport. So it's just right there. But again, they'll have a report out really at any time on the flight and the near miss, and you know, we'll understand, was it bad communication amongst one of the pilots, was it the tower, what was the issue. The good news is system within the Delta flight alerted them. They changed course quickly and no issue. But it speaks to what I spoke about in a previous episode of just the challenges at National Airport with regards to congestion. I mean, and it was noted in the report of the American Airlines crash back in January. So, you know, it's something that they're really going to be keeping an eye on. And I have read some reports that, you know, they've built in some spaces and some breaks with departures and landings. There have been some delays. I read one article that said some of the locals are actually going out to Dulles and flying out of Dulles because they're seeing too many delays out of Reagan. I need to check into that a little bit more, but it's interesting for sure. Again, glad that there was no incident, but boy, I'll tell you, it's far too often we hear these stories out of Washington. So as I've mentioned, Southwest is moving away from their free bag policy. I've harped on that a lot. I know some of you are probably hearing me talk about it. What's interesting is Frontier ran a promo, again, while I was on break, that if you book travel from April 1st through the 7th, and you were traveling the 22nd of April through August 18th, then, and there were some blackout dates in there, of course, but one bag would fly free. Not a typical policy of Frontier. I think they were trying to, capture some Southwest folks, see if they could grab some of them. And, it's one of those things where I will tell you, these airlines are really going to be looking at the patterns of the loyalists of Southwest, seeing if they move over to their airline. And is there going to be a Frontier or someone like that that scoops in and says, we'll run a 1 year or 2 year gig on bags flying free and seeing what that looks like? Do we get enough boost in people in the seats to justify not having that charge? I don't know. I don't know what those numbers are going to look like, but it'll be pretty interesting. Who knows? We will see. So with that, I am going to move into the interview with my aunt. Now, a couple of things. Number one, she did awesome. She was great. I went down there. I just have the one microphone. That was a mistake. I should have had two. So there are times where she sounds a little faded. Most of the time she sounds really good, and I actually sound a little faded in some of the questions I ask. It was a good learning experience for me. I'm dropping it because she was awesome, and I want to share her experiences with the audience, and she's just a great lady. Again, I'm not a studio engineer. I'm going to try to drop this in at a proper time, to where it gets in there, and then, be able to, close it out, and close out the show. Have no idea what the end of the show is going to end up sounding like, but that's okay. We'll roll with it and deal with it. But, in the event, my conclusion gets lost in translation, thank you for joining, and we'll see you again on May 15th, where we will have Season 2, Episode 2. And in that episode, we're probably going to kind of shift over and talk a little bit about hotels and talk a little bit about what happens and what to do if you get sick on the road, how to kind of manage that, some best practices, and a couple stories from that front as well. Nothing too crazy, but a couple personal stories from that area. So again, thank you. And with that, we'll drop in Anna Lois's interview here. And thanks for listening. All right. As promised, we are sitting down in Phoenix, Arizona. It is early April, and believe it or not, it rained here in Phoenix, Arizona today. I am joined by two of my favorite people, my lovely wife, Lisa, and our favorite aunt, Aunt Lois, who will turn 101 in June. And the reason we wanted to interview her was she has some great experiences with travel and has seen a lot of changes in travel, whether it be the airline industry or just travel in general. So wanted to get some of her thoughts and perspectives on that. So we'll be discussing a little bit of that with her. So we're excited to have her join. I do have two quick housekeeping notes on this interview. My aunt has an absolutely beautiful grandfather clock that is within three arm's lengths of where we're sitting. We are not in the Tales from the Air studio today. We're down remotely, as I said before. So you may hear a grandfather clock chime in. Also, Luke Air Force Base is not far from here. We may hear some jets flying over as well. So that's okay. It all adds to the fun and background of it. So with all of that, we'll go ahead and get started. And Anna Lois, I guess my first question would be, as it relates to air travel, you saw, I mean, changes, pictures from early flights in the 50s and whatnot, where people were dressed up. Now I feel like people are traveling just to get from point A to point B. Tell us a little bit about your experience flying back in some of those early days. If you remember an early flight, just that experience, what that was like, and share with us that experience.
Well, it was probably what you call a very formal time. You got on, the men had jackets on, the women wore nice clothes. You wore a hat, believe it or not, and gloves, whatever. And that's the way you were dressed. Everybody did the same thing.
What was your first flight that you remember?
The first flight that we went on was probably to Alaska.
And how old were you when you did that?
I was married already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was married already, and it probably was about 6 or 7 years into our marriage. That was our first flight.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that would have been early 50s.
It was, yeah, early 50s, and it would have been domestic flight. Yeah, before we got. Later on down the line is when we got started going to Europe, which was wonderful.
Those flights originated out of Phoenix, because you were already down here in some cases, not all cases. Were you primarily going through New York to get over to Europe, or how were you getting over?
Yes, New York. As a rule, New York, because I remember seeing the Statue of Liberty when we pulled out on our ship going to Europe, definitely.
That's great. We're going to touch on cruises here in a little bit, but there's one story I want to chat about with you, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to my lovely wife, Lisa, see if she has a question for Anna Lois as well. But a story that I recall you sharing was when you and Uncle Eldred drove from Omaha to Mexico City in a convertible. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, this was back in probably the early 50s, too.
Okay.
And we drove all the way down to Mexico City. Then you didn't think of, there were no cartels, or at least they weren't visible then at all. No one really knew about it. You just felt it was safe. You bought insurance for the car and everything. And you just took off. And there were no worries about anybody even stealing anything. And any of the cities you stopped in on the way down, there were always these little kids that said, for a quarter, will watch your car, and nobody will take the tires off of it.
So that
I remember that very vividly.
So that is about 1,700 miles.
Yeah.
From Omaha
to Mexico City.
Yes. And in a convertible, I have to think, that wasn't all interstate, or very few interstates.
Oh, there was no interstate.
There we go.
Period.
So you're on two-lane highways.
Just two-lane highways. And we saw all these country homes, where people lived, and very frugal,
mm-hmm.
very frugally.
How long did it take you to make that drive? Do you remember?
I think... about over 3 days, probably 4 days.
Okay.
That it took us at least.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And when we stayed in Mexico City, and we were so fortunate at the hotel we stayed at, the Reforma at that time, which was one of the nicest in Mexico City at the time. And we had met a lady in the lobby, and she wrote books,
mm-hmm.
and authored books. And we just happened to enjoy her conversations. And we said, we'd love to see Mexico City. She said, if you just buy my lunch every day, I will be your guide. I'll take you all over, and I'll introduce you to some of my friends down here, who lived in lovely, lovely homes. And in fact, we had lunch with some of her friends. And she stayed with us the whole 2 weeks we stayed in Mexico City, made sure that we went to all the places.
That's great. That sounds like a great trip.
It was.
Then you had that long drive back.
Oh, yeah.
To Omaha. Okay. We're gonna come back to Lisa. So you mentioned before cruising out of New York. And we've talked a little bit while we've been down here about some of your favorite cruises that you've taken. For the record, we are going to do an episode shortly on just cruises alone, where we'll be joined by Miss Janet Jackson talking about cruises, not the Janet Jackson, the singer, the other Janet Jackson. At any rate, you talked about going to Europe. You hadn't mentioned leaving out of New York. What was that experience like when you would depart out of New York, and where would you sail to on the cruises?
Well, out of New York, we went to some of the islands, and I'm trying to think of the name of some of them that we went to, and they're not going to come to me at the moment.
That's okay. You talked about doing a river cruise over in Europe. Talk a little bit about that experience with the river cruise.
Oh, that was wonderful. Completely different than anything than your cruises on your big ships. But there's about 125 people on board. And so you in 2 weeks, well, it was actually 15 days, we became very well acquainted with a lot of the people that were on board. And every day you got off and you had the smell of these wonderful bakeries in the morning when they were baking all the wares. And you could actually walk from the ship into town. It was that close, being on the river like that.
That sounds great. How long was that particular cruise that you took?
15 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty long.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. So what would you say in terms of all your travels that you've taken, what would be your favorite destination that you've gone to worldwide?
Well, as I mentioned to you the other day, we loved Italy.
Italy, that's great.
Equally, the European countries, what I loved about it was they save things. They don't tear things down. Elegant, elegant things that were built years and years ago. Many of the churches before Christ's time, and they're still standing.
There's the grandfather clock. We'll let that get through. It's good to create a little background. Listen to the with the time clock or the grandfather clock there.
That's got Westminster chimes. So
there we go.
Reminds me of Europe.
I was going to say a little European theme.
Yeah.
So Italy is your favorite. What about a domestic, a U.S. location? Any favorite there with a destination you've traveled to?
Favorite place here. Well, for one thing, we loved going down to Miami mm-hmm. in the winter time.
Sure.
Yeah. We had orchards in the Rio Grande Valley, and so we would go down and check on those. We had orange and grapefruit orchards, and we would go down and check on those probably two or three times during the winter. And or during the year, I should say, and then we would go on down to Miami, and we thought we would retire there, but the humidity got to be too much.
Yep, I agree with you. I think the humidity is a little high. You made a good choice with the Phoenix area. I think,
yeah, by
sure.
far.
Yep, absolutely. So, as we kind of close out this segment of kind of some of your experiences and travel, any advice to give folks who are maybe a little bit younger that haven't decided to really venture out, they haven't traveled much? Any advice to give folks on that front?
Well, I think if you start out cruising, I think you need to go closer at hand, like the Caribbean cruises down to the different Caribbean islands to begin with.
No, that's good advice. And like I said, we'll be covering cruises in more detail.
It's not so far. You can take week cruises down there and right. back, you know.
Sure, sure. Well, this has been great. And I want to thank you, Anna Lewis, for chiming in. We'll get Lisa in on a future episode on this one. She is here though. But thank you and appreciate the time. And we'll be chatting again soon. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
All right. If everything went well, Anna Lois's interview just concluded. And thank you for listening. This has been Season 2, Episode 2 of Tales from the Air. I appreciated having the month off, really 6 weeks off, if you look at it from that perspective, in between the episodes. But I miss doing this, so I'm glad Season 2 is back. Excited for episode 2 of season 2, and where we'll be talking about hotels. We'll be talking about if you get sick on the road, some things to think about, and we'll also have some industry news, industry updates in there as well. So as we do with every episode, we're going to let Mr. Dwight Yoakam take us home. Dwight? We'll be right back.
north of Charlotte.